Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here to infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong on the front lines. And we are beginning a brand new series. School is now in session. Classes have begun. And today we go to the school of prayer. You know, it sounds like a trite saying, you never graduate from the school of prayer, but it is absolutely true in this world. And I am super excited about this new series for two reasons. One, I get to share these truths with you, and I believe this is going to deepen your prayer life and thereby deepen your relationship with God and thereby deepen your effectiveness in God. The greatest ministry of all is the ministry of prayer. I'm also excited to teach it because I get to remind myself, I get to stir myself, I get to preach to myself as well. So we together are going to the school of prayer. If you miss any broadcast, remember, this is the Courage in the Line of Fire podcast. So wherever you get your podcasts, go to Courage in the Line of Fire and look for it. You can listen to the series we just finished on getting to know the Holy Spirit, 4 whole weeks, so 20 lessons on getting to know the Holy Spirit. And then thousands of previous broadcasts, our live radio show for years that we did for 16 years, all archived there. Courage in the Line of Fire podcast, or go to our YouTube channel, that's The Line of Fire, and subscribe as soon as you go. Don't forget, subscribe, and then click on the bell. That way you'll make sure that any new episodes that come out or new videos, we're posting lots of other fresh material, you will be the first to know. If you hit that bell, you will know as soon as something goes live. So let us set our hearts, let us set our minds, let us open ourselves to God as we go to the school of prayer. I want to lay out a number of statements first, and then we're going to get into a lot of scripture. We're going to talk about what prayer is, how to deepen our prayer lives, aspects of prayer, intercession. I believe you're going to find this super helpful. If you've been pastoring for 40 years, I believe you're going to find this helpful. If you came to know Jesus 1 month ago, you're going to find this helpful. So let's go together and move forward. Consider this, that nothing of eternal value comes without prayer. Anything of eternal value is something that God does. Human beings in and of themselves cannot do things of eternal value, but with Him and in Him, we can do things of eternal value. It ultimately comes out of prayer. Someone is praying somewhere. When God wants to move, when God wants to work, many Bible teachers, leaders have said this for centuries. When God wants to work, when He wants to move, He stirs His people to pray, and He invites us to pray throughout Scripture. Jesus urges us, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to it. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, and in Luke, the 11th chapter, we have these invitations to ask, to seek, to knock, to believe, to look to Him who is faithful. And the power of prayer is the power of God. In other words, this is where we, as human beings, ask Almighty God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, whose power and wisdom are infinitely beyond anything we can comprehend. This is when we ask God, you move. You act. You do what only you can do. And if you want to see change come, if you want to see lasting change come in your life and the lives of people you love, if you want to get through crises, if you want to have God's help in the midst of challenging times, if you want to see Him move in ways that can change whole nations, everything must flow out of prayer. So if you desire to change the world, if you have massive needs in your own life, there's nothing you need more than prayer. It's not just desperation, just throwing things up and hoping something will stick. No, it is a child coming to the Heavenly Father. And Jesus said this, Matthew 7, Luke 11. He said, what man is there among you, if his son comes and asks for bread, will give him a stone? Daddy, I'm hungry. Can I have some bread? Sure, son. Gives him a stone. No, who would do that? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll say, sure, boy, and give him a snake. No, he said, if you, being evil, so human beings in themselves, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Throughout Scripture, God is inviting us to pray. He says through Jeremiah, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great and wondrous things that you do not know. Throughout Scripture, there's an invitation, pray, get to know God, share your burdens with Him, talk to Him, pour out your heart to Him, cry out to Him, partner with Him in prayer. Leonard Ravenhill was the greatest man of prayer I ever knew, most famous for his book, Why Revival Tarries. He lived from 1907 to 1994, and we became very close the last 5 years of his life. So from 89 to 94, he was 82 when we met. And praying with him was like nothing else I ever experienced. Just the depth of his relationship with God and the burden of his heart and the passion and intimacy with which he prayed. But he made the statement, no man is greater than his prayer life. No man is greater than his prayer life. We could say the same thing. No woman is greater than her prayer life. And I understand people can be very busy. Some of you are holding down several jobs, balancing home and work and ministry and other things. I'm not saying that most of us have unlimited hours to pray every single day, but prayer must be the foundation of our lives. Prayer must be at the bedrock. There was a leader died a few years ago. His ministry started just reaching a handful of people. Then it went to dozens and scores. Then it went to hundreds. Then it went to thousands, then tens of thousands, then hundreds of thousands, and ultimately millions. And he was known as a man of prayer. And he once said that when he realized that prayer was as important as eating and drinking and sleeping, then he realized he had time to pray. I want you to come at this from another angle for a moment and to think about a life of prayer. You know, we talk about having a prayer life. Is it really a life? Is it really foundational and fundamental to who we are, to how we think, to how we operate? We wouldn't leave our homes wearing our pajamas or worse still in our underwear. We get dressed first. Do we understand that spiritually getting dressed starts with prayer? There's so many things we eat, we're going to find time to sleep, we're going to find time for this or that. Why can't we find time for prayer? I remember talking to a fellow in Italy one time, and he was at a meeting where I was preaching under a big gospel tent, and he was talking about the busyness of his schedule, and he worked a really hard, demanding job. And he heard me preach and he said, I want to pray. I want to spend more time with God, but I simply don't have the time. He's speaking through a translator. And he told me what his schedule was. And he gets home and his wife and kids and they need him. And I said, okay. I said, just out of curiosity, do you read the newspaper? I don't want to condemn. And everything I'm saying here is an invitation. Whatever feels like pressure, turn it around. It's an invitation from God. It's God Almighty, it's our Heavenly Father who loves you and loves me dearly, saying, hey, come closer, come nearer. I want to bless you. I want to touch you. I want to use you. I want to commune with you. I want to take you deeper. I want to be glorified by answering your prayers. So I asked this fellow, just out of curiosity, do you read the newspaper every day? He goes, yeah, like basically from front to back. And obviously not every article, but yeah, just every day, read the newspaper. I said, oh, okay. He said, I just need to wind down a little. Oh, okay. I said, do you watch TV at night? Oh, yeah, yeah. I sit with the family or I sit alone and I watch. It's like, I was a couple hours. It's like, hey, with all respect, sir, you have time to pray. You don't have to read the newspaper. There's no commandment in the Bible. You must read the newspaper or you must surf the net certain hours a day or you must respond to X amount of texts every day or you must watch this amount of TV or no. But we are called to pray throughout Scripture, praying on all occasions, pray without ceasing. You say, how? It's not possible to pray without ceasing. Oh, if that means 24 hours of every single day, we are actively praying words of prayer. No, of course not. But our life can be a life where not just times alone with God in prayer, but also times where just during the day, whatever pressures are on you, whatever's on your mind, there's a prayer lifted up. When you feel that anxiety hit, a prayer lifted up. When the bad news comes, a prayer lifted up. When you see an opportunity, a prayer lifted up. So it just becomes a lifestyle of communion with God. All right, We're just getting started in the School of Prayer. I want to take us deeper and deeper in the days ahead. Like I said, we'll look at a lot of scripture together as well. We're going to look at the prayer life of Jesus, especially from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at the prayer life of Paul. We're going to look at promises to prayer. We're going to look at concepts of persevering in prayer. Why is it that sometimes it takes a long time for prayers to be answered? Are we praying in unbelief if we repeat a prayer? What about special prayers of faith? We'll get into all of this. What's the difference between prayer and intercession? What does the Bible mean by travail or being in the pains of childbirth? What do those metaphors speak of? We're really going to dig deep, but at all times, I want to encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself as well. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Our Heavenly Father is saying, pray, pray, pray. I want to meet with you. I want to answer you. All right, we'll be right back on the other side of the break.
Trivita. Let's hear what Trivita customers are saying.
Dr. Brown, I can't wait to tell you, those supplements are absolutely amazing. My strength has gone up. I was doing weight that I haven't done since my 20s. And I usually ride my bike to the gym. And then on the way back, after I've done my weight training, I'm huffing and puffing. And on Sunday, I rode my bike there and back, and I had so much energy. I'm telling you, the combination of the nitric oxide with the MyoHealth, amazing. I can't believe it. Just how much strength I have right now. Those supplements are absolutely amazing.
Trivita wants you to experience wellness too. Do something good for your heart and cardiovascular system. Learn how to get 25% off Nitric Oxide Plus. Call 1-800-771-5584. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or go to trivita.com. Call 1-800-771-5584. 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. If you're not getting our monthly digital frontline newsletter, it's inspirational, it's beautifully produced, it's free. Read it on any platform and you'll love the main message, great testimonies from missionaries and others we've sent out. I look forward to reading the testimonies every single month. And then Hebrew word study, book excerpts, all free. So if you're not getting it, we'd love to send it to you. In fact, as soon as you sign up, we'll send you the last month. We'll put you on our welcome tour, share more about my own life and ministry and how we can serve you most effectively. So go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and just click subscribe. We would love to connect to you and pour into you. That's why we're here. All right, we're continuing to teach on prayer. This first day, just laying foundations, I want you to consider that there's a principle in the Bible about putting God first. The children of Israel, when they got the manna, they had to get up early in the morning before the sun was the melting heat was out, and this way the manna was there. They had to start their day with him. The psalmist says in Psalm 63, Ashacharecha, which is literally, I'll seek you early, which then becomes a metaphor for I will seek you earnestly. We're told, for example, in giving, Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with your first fruits. Many of us live by that practice of the first fruits of what we get, we give back to the Lord. And then Jesus in Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I don't know about you, but it's happened to me many a time that I feel an unusual burden to pray early in the day. Now, by nature, I'm a late night person. I keep trying to change my schedule. It still hasn't worked, but I'm still working on it. That I by nature, I'm a late night person. So over the decades, I've done a lot of prayer late at night, a lot of seeking of God late at night. And then in the morning, obviously commit the day to the Lord, but I don't pray as much in the morning as I do later in the day. Well, someday, and by the way, that's not the best habit. The best habit is to really start your day in a quality way with the Lord if you're able to. But some days, I wake up and there's an unusual burden to pray. And I think, okay, let me just do this one thing. I just need to respond to this one time sensitive email. And the next thing, it's midnight, I realize I didn't even stop and pray. The one thing became another thing, became another thing, became another thing. And then little by little, that unusual burden wasn't there. And then it disappeared. And then I got caught up in the busyness of the moment. And 10, 12, 15 hours later, I still haven't prayed. So there's a principle of seeking God first, putting prayer first. And I want you to consider some truths about prayer. The most fundamental concept is this. Prayer puts us in direct contact with God. Prayer puts us in direct contact with God, meaning it puts us in contact with the unlimited resources of an unlimited God. I went through a severe trial one time, and I was just looking for wisdom from people or help from people or want to talk to people or plan things out. And I was so convicted. Why are you looking to people to do what only God can do? And you get on your knees and you talk to God, who controls the universe, who has resources beyond anything we can conceive and wisdom beyond anything we can conceive. And we're inviting him to get involved when we pray. And look, a lot of us regret things in our past. We can't change that, but we can change the future through prayer. We can change our own lives through prayer. And yes, the Word of God is essential, important in our lives. It's not either prayer or the Word. But think of Acts 6, the apostles. They said we can't get caught up waiting on tables and working out disputes between who gets what in our midst. And so they raised up these helpers, these deacons. You do that. Tell the people, hey, you pick them. You put them to work. They said, we've got to give ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the Word. That's even how they prioritize it, prayer and the Word. And think of this, regardless of your personal gifting, regardless of wealth, your appearance, popularity, anything, whether you have one social media follower or 20 million, whether you even know what social media is, whether you're healthy 20 years old or 90 years old and shut in, you can pray and change the world. You can have an effective ministry. And let me say it again. There's no more effective ministry than the ministry of prayer, because you are directly in contact with God. God can save that sinner. God can raise up that missionary. God can turn the tide of that disaster. God can intervene in a crisis. People can only do so much. God can do anything. That's why the scriptures reiterate, all things are possible to the one who believes. All things are possible to the one who believes. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord to get us to really set our faith in him. Friends, we sell God too short. We may make the professions. We may say the words, he can do anything, all things are possible. But often we really don't believe it. And the way you can see we really don't believe it is to watch how little we pray. If you want prayer to make a difference, you got to pray with focus. You can't just be doing 20 other things and think you're going to pray in an effective way. It doesn't work in any other area of life like that. You're not going to build a quality relationship with someone while you're texting on the phone and surfing the net while talking to them. You're not going to be effective in your job. You're not going to be effective in anything, any pursuit in life, if you're just distracted with everything else. And that's one of my challenges over the years. My mind is so easily distracted. Focus. Lord, you come first. I'm pulling away from other things. I'm setting my heart on you. And it's day in, day out. It's day in, day out. And the more you pray, the more you love to pray. The more you spend time with God, the more you enjoy spending time with God, the more you can't live without quality time with God. And sometimes in prayer, you just have to be persistent. There's a battle. There's a wall. And I like to think of it like this, and we'll come back to this when we talk about persevering prayer. But I like to think of it like this. Think of a massive giant tree, the largest tree that exists on the planet. And you've got to be involved in chopping that tree down. You've got a nice sharp axe. You can keep sharpening it, but you're going to be involved in chopping that thing down. Each blow, you think, I'm not doing anything. Nothing's happening. I'm not doing anything. Nothing's happening. But little by little, that tree starts to be affected. And then at a certain point, there's one more blow of the axe and the tree collapses. The tree collapses. Your prayers, if you're praying in faith to God, and when we're in harmony with His will, those prayers make a difference. So God has just set things up in this world where He works through people. He works through people. In other words, it is not simply a matter of God decides to move. He's going to save someone, so He just saves them. No, He sends someone to preach to them. And that's just how it works. He doesn't only move on His own. He moves through us and with us. It's the way He set things up. You can make a difference for eternity based on your life in prayer. And everything will change. The weight that you carry that weighs you down, He can take it. He can carry it. He can give you peace and joy in the midst of the storm. The relationship with God we have is everything. And it flows out of prayer. James, Jacob, chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. There's trouble. There's a problem. Pray. Go to God. Okay, we all get worried. We all get anxious. But instead, go to God. God, I'm anxious. God, I'm worried. God, I feel pressure. God, I don't know what to do. I don't feel like you're not even caring. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. James, Jacob, chapter 5, verse 16. After talking about the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. And then look at this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And the beautiful thing is we are made righteous through the blood of Jesus. The beautiful thing is we are made righteous through the blood of Jesus. So we can come into God's holy presence. Hebrews 10, the holiest place of all, we can come in through the blood and pray. And the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The angel Gabriel told Daniel in the 9th chapter, and he visits him while Daniel is in prayer. Gabriel comes and speaks to him. So we're going to dig in deep. The next class, we're going to start going through Luke's gospel and looking at the importance of prayer in Luke's gospel. And we're going to focus on the prayer life of Jesus in the gospel of Luke. Next class. Let me just take 1 minute with a special announcement. We are here to serve you, and we'd love to serve others too. One of the best ways you can help us do that is by telling others about this message. If you're listening on radio, tell your friends, hey, tune in. I listen this time every day on this great station. Tune in, let them know. If you're listening by podcast, share it, recommend it to others. In fact, go ahead and post a review. If you're watching on YouTube, like it, make sure you're subscribing, but then tell a friend. Like most of us are on social media. So this is just a great way. Post a link, say I'm really enjoying this series. Why? Because our goal, here's the win for us. If we can reach more people, if we can help more people, if we can equip more people, if we can minister to more people, that's the win for us. So together, let's get the word out. If you're enjoying this broadcast, this podcast, spread the news. This is Dr. Michael Brown. Thanks so much for tuning in. Just a reminder that we are listener supported. If we have been a blessing to you, if you're being enriched in the word and prayer and your own walk with God through this broadcast, then stand with us so that we can reach many, many more and bless many, many more. Together, friends, we're making a difference. So go to thelineoffire.org. thelineoffire.org and click donate.